Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. It is so great to be along with you. How about we talk a little bit about government waste, about ineptitude inside government, about the deep state's quest to enrich the military-industrial complex, all while the United States military rots from the inside thanks to Joe Biden and the rest of the deep staters in government. I want to talk today about the F-35 program. It is supposed to be the most capable military aircraft in the world. But Matt Gaetz describes it as a paperweight. You have others that describe the F-35 as a tin can. Why? Well, we will explain. And Matt Gaetz' questioning of Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin was so unbelievable. I'm going to play it for you on the podcast today, as well as boots on the ground in Gaza. You better believe it. We're going to have armed members of the U.S. military in Gaza, of all places. Much to the dismay of me, all of you, I'm sure, and Joe Biden's promise that there'd be no boots on the ground. Again, Matt Gaetz calling out Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. It was brilliant questioning. We're going to play it and go through it on the podcast today. Brought to you by Midas Gold Group, MidasGoldGroup.com. Now's the time to put your money into precious metals. If there ever were a time, MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, folks, let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, thank you so much. It is so great to be along with you today. GrantStinchfield.com, GrantStinchfield.com. Sign up for the email list there. Folks, by now, you have probably heard rumblings about the F-35. The F-35 should be the most unbelievable, mighty, most deadly weaponized flying aircraft in the world. And I think it is, as long as you can get it in the air. The problem is you can't get the F-35 in the air. At least you can't get 60% of them in the air. Apparently, only about 29% are mission capable. That amounts to a total failure of the F-35 program. By the way, the plane you see on your screen right there, you know how much it costs? $100 million a piece. And right now, we are waiting on a tech refurbishment. The TR-3, the Tech Refresh, Technology Refresh 3, we're waiting on that. And apparently we're going to have to wait through 2025 for this to occur. So again, another year, another 2 years to get these planes to where they're supposed to be. It's not good, folks. It's not good at all. Well, Matt Gaetz had the opportunity to question Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, who was on the hot seat in the halls of Congress. And the questioning is literally just brilliancy. Watch.
But I want to bring us now closer to home and the F-35 program. Is the F-35 program a failure?
No, it's...
Okay, so let's go over, how much does an F-35 cost?
Well, it depends on the variant, but...
100 million? Safe to say? 100 million a copy? Okay, so we just had the Air Force in here, and I said, what percentage of these F-35s are fully mission capable? And they said 29%. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment?
I don't have any basis to disagree with the Secretary.
So at 100 million a copy, 29% being fully mission capable, does that seem low to you?
It's a complex airframe, and again, there are a number of reasons why a platform could be not operational at any one given time.
But right, but I mean, but how
having
many?
Having said that, it is one of the best aircraft in the inventory.
All right, so it's one of the best aircraft in the inventory, but 60% of them can't get in the air at 100 million apiece. I think we've rolled off the line over 1,000 of them. Maybe more, the number. And 60%, so if it's 1,600 F-35s are sitting on a tarmac, unable to fly, whether it's because of this Refresh 3, whether it's because they can't get the technology to work, whether it's because just as Marines found, Marines yesterday, report comes out, found metal shavings in the fuel of the F-35. Now, metal shavings in anything. I used to own trucks, 18-wheelers. You find metal shavings in the fuel of an 18-wheeler truck, your engine's probably about to collapse. It's about the worst sign possible, metal shavings in your fuel or oil, right? Bad, bad, bad sign. What does this mean? You're going to ground the entire fleet now? Quite possibly you're going to have to at $100 million apiece. See, there's no accountability inside government. It's like Lloyd Austin doesn't care about this, that it costs $100 million. We now are saying that by this program will go to maintain it $1.5 trillion. I think it's at $1.2 trillion now over the next few years. And we want to fly these things through 2088. 2088. I'll be long gone by 2088, but these planes will still be around? What is going on here?
Best aircraft in the inventory. Well, Mr. Secretary, there's a GAO report that takes a very different view. Mr. Chairman, I seek unanimous consent to enter the GAO report entitled F-35 Sustainment Cost Will Continue to Rise While Planned Use and Availability Have Decreased.
Without objection, so ordered.
It reads, cost to sustain the F-35 fleet keep increasing from $1.1 trillion in 2018 to $1.58 trillion in 2023. Yet DOD plans to fly the F-35 less than originally estimated, partly because of reliability issues with the aircraft. The F-35's ability to perform its mission has also trended downward over the last 5 years. Is there any of that in the GAO report that you disagree with?
I don't, no.
Okay, so.
So he doesn't disagree with, it's gonna cost more, we're going to fly it less, and yet he refuses to admit that the program is a total failure. It's a flop. Now, let me just play before we get back to Secretary Austin. I pulled this little clip of the documentary so you can see what the F-35 is capable of in the air and hear this gentleman reporting on the F-35, and then we'll get back to Matt Gaetz on questioning it because this spells out the potential of the F-35. Versus the reality of the F-35. And the reality looks a lot worse than the potential.
Imagine an aircraft that was meant to replace many legendary airframes, but was so ambitious that it suffered years of delays. Fast forward to today, and that same airframe has become the most advanced combat information node, while also surpassing 1,000 units rolling off the assembly line. Welcome to the world of the F-35 Lightning, the premier fifth-generation stealth fighter. Not just another fighter jet, the Lightning has become the symbol of a new era in global defense. So far, more than 10 European nations have adopted this fighter, making it, some would say, the new Eurofighter of the 21st century.
You know, in many respects, as I think about the F-35, and look at all those European countries that are buying F-35s from Lockheed Martin. Why are we sharing, as the United States and the United States companies, sharing military technology, even with our allies? I'm not a big fan of this. I don't like the idea of one of these jets falling into the wrong hands, not to be used against us, but to be studied and to be replicated by who? The likes of China. China is trying to keep up with the F-35. It sounds to me like they're not going to have a very tough job because it isn't working, the F-35. But we're sending these to all of our allies. I don't like it. American technology, American military technology should stay in the United States and go no place else.
However, the journey of the F-35 is an ongoing one, paved with relentless ambition and challenges. As it embraces its latest upgrade, the Technology Refresh 3, or TR-3, the aircraft stands at the crossroads of practicality and technological evolution. This upgrade is not just a step, but a giant leap, promising to unleash capabilities that will redefine modern warfare. The Lightning's path has always been filled with complexities, a reminder that the goal of aerial supremacy is won by a relentless pursuit of innovation and resilience.
Or, in other words, trillions of dollars. What did Matt Gaetz say? $1.8 trillion to maintain this fleet? Now, I'm all for it if it is the most formidable fighter jet in the skies over Earth today. I'm all for it. But right now we have big problems, and it seems to me like nobody is being held accountable for these big problems, right? Nobody. So this is Gates. He continues his questioning with Lloyd Austin.
How many $100 million paperweights do we own?
I would not categorize the F-35 as a paperweight.
Well, if it's not mission capable, if it's what do we just stare at it and admire it?
We continue to work to make sure that we get our aircraft operational. And
do we just stare at it and admire it? Now, I will tell you, on your screen here, it's a beautiful airframe, as they like to call it. Aircraft, fighter, jet, whatever you want. It's a gorgeous piece of flying equipment when it flies. But I love the comments. Should we just sit there and admire it? It's a lot to pay for $100 million.
Continue to...
Don't you think at 100 million a clip, more than 29% should be fully operational? And if the fact that we can't get them operational, you know what Secretary Kendall said when he was sitting in that chair? He said the core root of the problem is that we had let Lockheed Martin build this thing, and then we gave Lockheed Martin the full system performance contract. And they keep bilking us, according to the GAO, and we sit around staring at a $100 million airplane that can't fully perform the mission, and you're sitting here telling me it's not a failure. Just own up to it, Mr. Secretary. Just say, this airframe has not delivered, it's too costly, it's not being utilized as we should, and we should never again make the mistake of doing a full system performance contract with the very person who built the aircraft. Could we agree to that?
I agree. In the future, okay, we should have a different approach. I'm sure that Secretary Kendall also told you
the committee is going to help things that he was to doing to get the approach quite quickly.
A different approach. This is his answer. He agrees. Take a different approach. Now, the reason why Lloyd Austin can't agree to what Matt Gaetz there had said, that we need to figure out new ways, that it is a failure, that it hasn't gotten off the ground, and all of these things, is because they can't admit it, because we are, I don't know, over a decade into this thing, at least, I think. And trillions of dollars into the F-35. So they're not going to give up on it. Even though, I don't know, maybe at some point you need to think about giving up on the F-35. I should get my friend, Congressman Mike Garcia. He was a Navy fighter pilot. He lives in California, represents Southern California there. He's an expert on this stuff. I ought to get him on to talk about the F-35 and where we're going with this, because really not a good situation with all of this. And Matt Gaetz, great job questioning Lloyd Austin. Well, Matt Gaetz goes on. We're going to bring up Gaza and boots on the ground. Will we have boots on the ground in Gaza? This is, of course, the big question. Before we get to that, though, folks, I want to tell you about my friends at Patriot Mobile. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. If you have not made the switch, I'm going to ask you why. You will see no difference in your cell phone service, because you can stay on the network that you're on, or you can change networks if you want, and this gets into their performance guarantee. You will get 100% U.S.-based customer service, which I promise you is far better than any of the big three cell phone companies. So why are you waiting to make the switch to Patriot Mobile when they support first responders, they support our veterans, they support our members of our military, they support Second Amendment issues, right to life, free speech, all of these things they are fighting for, including Christianity, by the way. They are fighting to preserve God and Jesus and the values of the Bible and all of these things, which is why they call them America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Now, of course, they come under fire for that. I mean, they are under attack on a daily basis. So what I am asking you, Stinchfield's Army, go with Patriot Mobile. Sign up today. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. Make a statement with your pocketbook. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. 972-PATRIOT is the number. 972-PATRIOT. Give them a call. And when you do, you tell them that Grant Stinchfield sent you. All right. So next on the hit parade here, folks, is the issue of boots on the ground in Gaza. Are we going to be sending American troops to Gaza? Well, Joe Biden told us no, that would not happen in Gaza, right? Remember this?
The United States has been leading international efforts to get more humanitarian assistance to Gaza. Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza that can receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
So he says, no boots on the ground. No boots on the ground means no boots on the ground, means nothing with laces, rubber soles, those desert army boots that we all know so well, that God forbid you never want to see with an M16 and a helmet on top, empty, because that means an American soldier died. We don't want that. Yet apparently he tells us we're not going to have boots on the ground, but that's exactly what he's doing. He's sending boots on the ground, 1,000 U.S. troops to build this pier into a port in Gaza so they can get relief aid into the area. Now, again, Matt Gaetz questions Secretary Lloyd Austin on this. And I think what you'll find is this is quite surprising.
Ms. Lotkin just said there'll be about 1,000 U.S. service members operating a pier system off of Gaza. How many of them will have guns, Mr. Secretary?
Well, typically all of the deployed service members carry guns, and they have the ability to protect themselves if challenged.
So if someone from land in Gaza shoots at our service members who are on the $320 million pier that we're building, you're telling me our service members can shoot back?
They have the right to return fire to protect themselves. Now,
I want to move to the likelihood that you think someone from land in Gaza might shoot at our service members on this pier. Do you think that's a likely scenario?
All right. So here's the deal. He says that our soldiers will be armed. He says they can defend themselves. You're in what amounts to a war zone. That is not up for debate. Gaza is a war zone. United States, by all accounts, in a normal world, we stand on the side of Israel under Joe Biden. You know, he's standing in the middle of the street, and you know what happens in the middle of the street? You get hit by cars. So this is going to be a really bad situation for American members of our military. We should not be in Gaza doing anything. But Gaetz continued here.
It's possible, yes.
This is a very telling moment, Mr. Secretary, because you've said something that's quite possible that could happen, right? Shots from Gaza on our service members, and then the response, our armed service members shooting live fire into Gaza. That is a possible outcome here so that we can become the port authority and run this pier. Right?
That's correct. You know, I expect that we will always
don't
have the ability to protect ourselves.
Don't you think that counts as boots on the ground? President Biden told the country that we weren't going to have boots on the ground.
All right, so I'm going to get back to exactly what he says here, because this is important. But Lloyd Austin basically admitted that could happen. American service members fighting with Hamas terrorists, being fired upon from the shore as they're working on this pier. What is it, the Army Corps of Engineers that'll be working on this? Now, they're typically engineers, construction workers. They're not really trained like our not just special forces, but our frontline defenders, our infantry men and women to go into battle. These are construction workers that'll be orchestrating this. They're going to be getting fired on, and I'm sure you'll have members of the military there to protect them. And God forbid, now they're in a firefight. Now, Matt Gaetz asked a very, very important question here. You've got boots, maybe not on the ground, maybe on a pier, the ground, fighting with Hamas terrorists. Every American citizen, I don't care what side of the aisle you're from, is going to say, all right, you're fighting with our military. That counts as boots on the ground. So let's go through that exchange.
On the ground, President Biden told the country that we weren't going to have boots on the ground. in Gaza.
And we won't.
Okay, but you guys parse the distinction between, like, when Americans think boots on the ground, they think Americans in harm's way or engaged actively in a conflict. You guys seem to be sort of saying that boots on a pier connected to the ground, connected to service members shooting into Gaza, doesn't count as boots on the ground?
It does not.
I think you're going to find the American people have a different perspective on that. And if we're going to have people shooting into Gaza, we probably should have a vote on that pursuant to our war powers.
Congress should have a say in that on this. Not always. I mean, I'm going to go down the road. The commander in chief has the ability to be commander in chief, not this one. But he's got to be able to move his men and women out before there's any kind of a declaration of war or anything like that. But there should be advice and consent from Congress. And this idea that Lloyd Austin says he does not believe that constitutes boots on the ground when you have members of our military engaged in a firefight with Hamas in Gaza, what is it then? Of course it's boots on the ground. But again, this is the kind of delusion from this administration. It's the kind of lies and misdirection we get from this administration. It's the kind of wordplay we get from this administration that has this entire country fed up. Because we feel like we're being duped around every corner, every turn. Everything Joe Biden and his team does is a big setup job. And it's not what they claim it to be. No boots on the ground, should be no U.S. troops in Gaza. End of story. And now we have the possibility they're going to be fighting there. If it weren't for people like Matt Gaetz, we wouldn't have any of this information. So I'm glad to bring it to you on a platform like this. I'm so grateful you're able to join me. Please spread this podcast far and wide. It is so important we push this as far as we can. Again, I want to tell you about my friends over at Midas Gold Group. MidasGoldGroup.com, 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. MidasGoldGroup.com, safety, security, privacy. Only a commodity that you can hold, like gold, can provide you this. In fact, gold has stood the test of time. It's why I urge you to talk to Midas Gold Group about how much money is right for you. But these are guys I trust. I've known them for a really, really long time. And I trust the guys at Midas Gold Group. 855-322-GOLD, MidasGoldGroup.com. Pay them a visit. All right, folks, that is going to do it for this edition of Stinchfield. GrantStinchfield.com is the website. I will see you on the Real America's Voice show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Trump rally before the show. I believe President Trump's going to be speaking, so tune in to Real America's Voice for that. Should be great. We'll have updates from that. And then all of this craziness on college campuses. I've got a couple parents and students from UCLA lined up to talk about what's going on there and why their kids, why their students are living in fear there after this just absolute violent, violent rumble that broke out. No pun intended, broadcasting to you on Rumble. If you're watching on Facebook, thank you. Getter as well. And now YouTube. Like, share, subscribe. We appreciate you, folks. Thanks for watching. Stinchfield's Army rolls.